VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, earlier this year, I hit my 60th birthday. And through these 60 years, I have never witnessed a time that we've been more divided than what we are right now. I mean, we see great division politically. I mean, we've got legislators chartering a private jet to flee their state to keep from debating legislation on their own House floors. So many bills and issues are complete party line splits. In addition to this, there are what I call provocateurs who are causing great division all across our nation based on the tone of one's skin color. Neighbors rising up against neighbors. I mean, there's great divide in our educational institutions. There's great division in our culture. And ladies and gentlemen, there's great division in the church. What is happening to our culture? What is happening to the church? And how can we, believers in Christ, get engaged in the situation to be effective instruments in righting the ship? That's our topic today, and we invite you to stay tuned as we're joined by Ken Ham, the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis, and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum of the world-renowned Ark Encounter. Just had a major anniversary there. Ken is one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America and author of numerous works, including his latest book, Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos, and A Conflicted Church. Ken, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thanks, Jim. Great to be with you again.
So in this newly released book, Divided Nation, you state this. I mean, you start your book out saying this, America is a divided nation. Then again, what's happening in America is also happening throughout the Western world. The culture is becoming more secularized and anti-Christian. Church attendance has already dropped significantly. But what has happened to the church? Why have the younger generations been leaving? Why is the Christian message not impacting the culture like it used to? Ken, that's a pretty heavy way to start a book. I mean, you're not letting people sit back in their easy chair on this one.
Oh, certainly not. And, you know, one of the things is that I've been warning people. In fact, we have through Answers in Genesis for years now. I mean, George Barna, a Christian researcher in America, has come out with statistics over the years, and so have other researchers, to show we've been losing the younger generations from the church. And we've been warning the church. And, in fact, it's one of the things we've been doing through Answers in Genesis, is saying, listen, if the church doesn't stand on God's word, if we don't start teaching generations how to defend the Christian faith against the attacks of today, teach them God's word is true right from the beginning, the foundation of Genesis is foundational to all of our doctrines, marriage, gender, and so on. If we don't start doing this, we're going to continue to lose the coming generations from the church. And as they're lost from the church to the world, become more secularized, and as the world becomes more secularized, it becomes more antagonistic to Christianity. Because remember, the Bible says you're either for Christ or against. There's no in-between position. There's no neutral position. And unfortunately, much of the church has used entertainment to try to keep the younger generations there. A more experienced, feeling-based sort of thing. You know, I love music. But the trouble is, many churches have used music as the centerpiece of the church and more focused as a performance from the stage and to be more experiential and feeling-based and watered down the teaching of the word, and we've lost these younger generations from the church. Actually, when we look at what's happening in the culture, I believe it's the church's fault. And so that's why I challenge the church in this book and say, look, there's a number of things we have failed to teach generations, and that's why even most adults now don't really know, how do you deal with the gender issue, the gay marriage issue? How do you deal with all these issues? Because they think they're all different problems in society, but they're all the same problem. They're different symptoms of the problem that people no longer build their thinking on God's word, but man's word.
But I find it also interesting that people are hungry for the truth. I mean, in your book, you mentioned that one of the most asked questions that you get at Answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter, Creation Museum, do you know a church in our area that takes the same stand on biblical authority as you do at Answers in Genesis? And Ken, in light of all the churches we have in this nation, it's rather shocking, but it tells you there's strong hunger for a solid biblical truth.
There is strong hunger. And, you know, I speak down at the Ark a number of times a week and at the Creation Museum, and I do meet and greets afterwards, and I have people from all across America who come and meet me afterwards. And that is the most common question I get asked. Or the statement is, you know, we're really, really concerned about the church we go to. The pastors won't take a stand. In fact, I just met a group of people last week. They said, we're a group of people from our church. Our pastors will not take a stand on Genesis, and they really won't teach apologetics in the church. So we decided as a group to bring people from the church to the Ark and the Creation Museum so we can help equip them.
Tremendous. Ken, when did the church get off track? When did this exodus begin?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because if you look down through the ages, there's been particular attacks on God's word. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Beware, because the devil's going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve to get us to position and not believe in the things of God. And, of course, what was that method he used on Eve? Well, Genesis 3:1, did God really say?
Yeah.
In other words, attack God's word, create doubt that leads to unbelief. And I call that the Genesis 3 attack. And I tell people there's been a Genesis 3 attack ever since the garden, since the temptation. But it manifests itself in different ways in different eras. I believe that this particular era began in the 1800s, when out of atheism came the belief of millions of years, when people rejected God's word about the flood and said, we don't believe in creation and so on. The fossils were laid down over millions of years. And then the church started to compromise in a particular way. Thomas Chalmers, the founder of the Free Church of Scotland, said, we'll take the millions of years and put in a gap between the first two verses of Genesis, invented the gap theory, which became rife through the churches. And then comes along Darwin, and many church leaders said, we'll say God used evolution, and then God used the Big Bang. And before long, you've got churches all across the world and all across the Western world who are saying Genesis doesn't matter, it's not important, and just trust in Jesus. And yet that's the foundation for all of our doctrine. You know, Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for everything, for the whole of the rest of the Bible, for all of our doctrines. A lot of churches these days, I find, are more interested in Revelation. Don't get me wrong, Revelation's an important book, but it's not the foundation for our doctrine. It's not the foundation for gender, for marriage, for where sin came from, why there's death in the world. It's not the foundation for your Christian worldview. Genesis 1 to 11 is. That's where the church got it wrong, and most of our church leaders will not deal with that aspect because they've been so indoctrinated to believe in millions of years, evolution, Genesis doesn't matter. But that's where we lost it.
Ken, you indicate also, and many will find it shocking, but you say it only takes one generation to lose a culture. I mean, that's really a relatively short period of time.
Oh, it is. But you know what? We can look in Scripture and get a great example of that. If you look at Joshua, when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River, and then God said, take 12 stones and build a memorial. So when your children ask in time to come what these stones mean, you will not forget to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they built this 12 stones memorial. Now, what's interesting is, as you read on there in through Joshua and then into Judges, we read that, well, Joshua dies, and then the elders that were out, that lived with him, that saw the great works that God did, died. And then it says the next generation arose and they served Baal. There, they lost it in one generation. And if you look today at what's happening, I mean, with Generation Z, George Varna found twice as likely to be atheist as any previous generation. And it's the first generation that George Varna, the Christian researcher, said are the post-Christian generation. If you look at Generation Z, you could say we're losing it in that generation, because in that generation, they're much more atheistic. 16% of them identify as LGBT. A large percentage of them say they are the nuns. Well, by the nuns, I mean they have no religion, which is not true. Everyone has a religion. What they mean is they're not Christian. And we're losing it in that generation, and losing them to the culture. And the more we lose the younger generations to the secular world, the more we see the secular world being intolerant of Christianity, because the Bible says, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, here's what's truth, and so on. And that's exactly what's happening. We're losing it in that generation.
Ken Ham with us here today from Answers in Genesis, author of Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos and a Conflicted Church. We'll be telling you how you can obtain a copy of this book. But Ken, in your book here, you detail five areas that you believe failure has occurred. And the first you present is that there is no neutral position. Now, we're living in a time when people say we need to just show love and harmony with one another. Don't create waves. Let's all go along to get along. Ken, in, I hear an alarm going off in your mind saying, hey, we can't stay neutral like that.
No, we can't. See, we've got to look at what the scripture says about us. But, you know, even when it comes to fighting issues like abortion or gay marriage, even many church leaders have said, now, don't go out there and tell them you're a Christian and don't use the Bible, right. You know, just use a neutral argument, you know, a neutral argument like what's developing in your womb is a baby and so on. And I'm not saying that some people haven't actually been challenged by even some of those arguments, but ultimately we've got to understand something. Ultimately, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So ultimately, if you're not on about the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, if you're not on about that, then, you know, the point I make in the book is that there's only two foundations for our worldview, God's Word or man's Word. If you give up God's Word, then man's word, well, that's the foundation, and that's what's going to win, and that's what we see happening across the nation. We've got this idea that non-Christians are neutral, and so, yeah, you just show them love and so on because they're neutral people and they'll respond to that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that those who are against God suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and they're at war with God, the scripture says. In other words, a non-Christian is an anti-Christian. That's what we've got to remember. You're either for Christ or against. You walk in light or darkness. You either gather or scatter. You either build your house on the rock or build your house on the sand. Show me where the Bible says people are neutral or there's a neutral argument. There is not. And we've got this idea today, if you tell someone you're a sinner, you're being negative, or if you tell them, you know, Jesus is the only way and he's the truth and this is what's right and that's what's wrong, well, that's hate speech and so on, because they've got this idea of neutrality, but no one is neutral, and we've got to understand that.
Ken, a second point you make in your book is that there's no non-religious position, and in this, I was looking, Live Science reported earlier this year that there are over 45,000 denominations globally, yet in your book you indicate there are ultimately only two religions. You kind of alluded to that just a bit ago, but what do you mean by only two religions?
Well, you know, if you go back to Genesis, what do you find? God said to Adam, don't eat the fruit of this tree. In other words, obey God's word. And the devil came along and said, did God really say? In other words, and also, you shall be your own God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you decide truth for yourself. Here's the point. In an ultimate sense, there are only two religions. In an ultimate sense, there's only two foundations, God's word or man's word. And from the foundation you have, you build a worldview. We all have a worldview. We all have a way of thinking about this world. I mean, when you look at the world today and you see death and struggle, how do we understand why there's death in the world? Our foundation from God's word is, oh, that's a result of our sin. It's an intrusion. It's an enemy. But if you start from man's word, oh, death has always been here. See, my point is we all have a worldview. We all have a religion. And as I say to people, look, don't let the atheists intimidate you, the secularists intimidate you, or the Freedom from Religion Foundation, or the American Atheists, or the ACLU, because here's what they'll do. They'll come and say, oh, you Christians have a religion. We don't. You've got to get rid of your religious symbols, and then they impose their religion on us.
We're going to come back to that point. Ken Ham with us today from Answers in Genesis, a powerful, powerful book entitled Divided Nation. After the break, we'll share with you how you can obtain a copy of this book here, but stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ken Ham is with us today and recently released the book Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos and a Conflicted Church. Let me just say this. This is a powerful tool. It is a book that needs to be, I was going to say on your bookshelf, but no, it doesn't need to be on a shelf. It needs to be in your hands. You need to read it. It needs to be on your pastor's desk for him to refer to, and should be a part of the pastor's library in this regard. And we, our bookstore here has made this book one of their books of the month here at the VCY bookstore. And through July 31st, this is a book, its release price is $15.99, but our VCY bookstore is wanting to get this in your hands. Believe it is absolutely critical. And so they worked with the publisher on this. And so the book is being made available through July 31st at 40% off. The VCY bookstore making this available for just $9.59 plus any applicable tax and shipping. If you need it mailed to you, those of you within driving distance, you can stop in. But it's available right now at VCY.com, VCY.com. You may also call the bookstore at this number, 414-463-1770 or 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. And Ken, it's my belief that this book needs to be in the hands of every pastor of every church across America.
Well, you know what, Jim? In that book, too, I've put in all the illustrations in color. And it's actually a book you can read in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a hardcover, and it's an easy sort of book to carry around and to read. And then, you know, I actually have made available all the illustrations, and there's a link there at the front of the book where they can go and download the illustrations in Keynote, PowerPoint, or PDF to put them in whatever program they want. And then for each slide, I actually put all the information on how to teach it. So people can go, hey, if your pastor's not going to teach this, you can go and teach it to a Sunday school or teach it to your youth group or Bible study or get your pastor to teach it from the pulpit. You can divide up into a number of different, you know, presentations, if you like. But I believe this is a really cutting edge thrust for our church today, and we need this across America.
And again, folks, that link is right in the front part of this book here to download that for teaching purposes. But you can go to vcy.com, 1-888-722-4829. 40% off through July 31st. Before we continue our discussion, Ken, I also just want to pass on that we are looking forward to your coming here to the Milwaukee area. September 18th, we're going to have a special VCY rally, 6 o'clock in the evening. You're going to be talking some 90 minutes on the topic, Facing the Secular Giants of Our Day. This is going to, as I was talking to your representatives, I said, I want Ken to come and just hit our people between the eyes. I want to be confronted and share biblical truth. The authority of God's Word is so important.
It is. And, you know, that's what the issue has always been. The issue has always been about the authority of the Word. Who's the authority? Is it God or is it man? And, you know, that's what we see all through Scripture. It's a battle between God's Word and man's Word. It's the same battle that we see today. And Christians need to wake up to that. And, you know, we were talking just before the break about the fact that we've got these people today that think that, oh, if you don't go to church and you don't believe in God, that you don't have a religion. We need to understand there's a battle between two religions going on in our world, God's Word, man's Word. You know, when the Freedom from Religion Foundation come in and say to people, you can't have crosses or you can't have nativity scenes here or be playing Christmas carols or have prayer before graduation in school and so on, because that's imposing the Christian religion. And so, out of the schools, they get rid of nativity scenes. You can't have Christmas carols, can't have God or the Bible or prayer. We get rid of crosses from these public places and so on. And they say, now it's neutral. No, now you've let the Freedom from Religion Foundation impose their religion of atheism, that is no God, on the culture and on people. And that's what's happening. And a lot of Christians, because they don't understand there's no neutrality, they don't understand there's no non-religious position, that's why we've got the idea secular is neutral. Secular is not neutral. Secular school, secular means anti-God. That's what it means. You're either for Christ or against. Look at what's happening now, that the veneer of Christianity is ripped out of the public schools. We see secular for what it really is. totally antagonistic to Christianity.
Ken, on page 42 of your book, you ask a very basic question. You ask this, what actually is the Bible? What prompted you to pose that question?
You know, because I've spoken in all 50 states. You know, I've spoken all around the world, too. But I've spoken in all 50 states, hundreds of churches, different denominations. And, you know, as I've talked to so many people, thousands and thousands of people, I get the feeling that for a lot of people, the Bible is sort of, it's a book up here somewhere. It's a book of spiritual things and moral things and relationships. And over here are all these issues that we deal with, you know, whether it's evolution or gay marriage or whatever it happens to be. But people need to understand something. The Bible is not just a book of spiritual things, moral things, and relationships. The Bible is a book of history, and it's God's word to us. It's a revelation from the God who knows everything there is to know about everything, his infinite knowledge and wisdom. I mean, Colossians 1 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's revealed to us the key information we need, the key aspects of history, to be the foundation for our worldview. And Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundational information in history for our whole worldview. It's the foundation for everything. I mean, you think about it, the origin of marriage is in Genesis, death, Genesis, sin, Genesis. Why do we wear clothes? Genesis. Why did Jesus die on a cross? Genesis. Why is he called the last Adam? Genesis. Why 7 day week? Genesis. You see, the Bible is the foundation for our worldview. It's like a house. You can't have a house with just walls and roof. You've got to have the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, I think Christians have seen, you know, the message of Christianity, the doctrines of Christianity, that's the walls and the roof. And we've been trying to put the walls and the roof on generations of kids that have gone through an education system that have the wrong foundation, the foundation of sand, of man's word. And then we see that house structure collapsing. That's what the problem is. And so we have to come to grips with what's really going on here.
And matter of fact, you say we have to have a worldview that's consistent with that foundation.
Our worldview should come out of that foundation. Yeah, can I give you one just practical example real quickly?
Sure.
And that is that, look, a lot of our churches, the Sunday school materials and children's books would say something like this. And I've seen this over and over again. Okay, children, look at this. Oh, God made the world. God made this beautiful world we live in. Can't you look out there and see this beautiful world and know that God made this world? Well, wait a minute. The world's not beautiful. It is ugly. I mean, there's a remnant of beauty, but there's ugliness out there. What about all the death, all the disease, or the evil that we see, the horrible things, children starving in different countries? I mean, here's the problem. The atheist will say, did your parents, did your church tell you that God made this beautiful world? Yes. Well, it's not beautiful, is it? No. It's awful, isn't it? Look at all the death and suffering. See, there can't be a loving God. Had we taught them to have a biblical worldview correctly with the Bible as our foundation, they would know we're not looking at the world as God made it. We're looking at the world that he made that is suffering from sin, the curse of death, the curse on the ground, the flood of Noah, that's why there are fossils all over the world, the Tower of Babel, that's why there are different languages, not different races. That's another issue. When people today say, look at all the different races and so on, if you've been trained with a biblical worldview, starting from the Bible, you'll say, no, 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 we all go back to Adam and Eve. There's only one race. There aren't any different races. You see, your worldview comes from the foundation of God's word. The trouble is, for many of us, we've been trained with a secular worldview from man's word, and we're trying to add God to it. Even many Christian schools use secular textbooks and try to add God to that and Christianize it. You can't Christianize something that has the wrong foundation. You can't change it from the top down. It's got to be changed from the foundation up.
Your fourth point, general Bible and creation apologetics. I mean, you emphasize the importance of being ready to give an answer or a defense of the faith. Tell us why that's so critical.
You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer or defense. And the word answer or defense comes from the Greek word apologia, from which we get a word apologetics. And one of the sad things that we have seen is that so many parents and Christian leaders have not been preparing generations with answers to the skeptical attacks of our day that undermine God's word. You know, the devil started attacking God's word in Genesis 3. Did God really say? And the attack today has specifically since the 1800s been leveled at Genesis. And so we hear people saying, but, you know, science disproves the Bible. The Bible is just a book of mythology. But what about evolution and millions of years? Well, wait a minute. How do you explain all the so-called races if we all go back to Adam and Eve? And what about dinosaurs and so on? Those questions people are very familiar with today because they're all part of the Genesis 3 attack. And what we should have been doing is saying, hey, God warns us, the Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 11:3, the devil's going to use the same attack on us as he did on Eve. We need to know how that attack manifests itself today. Okay, what is the world doing? What are they saying? What are they trying to get my kids, my people to believe that's going to undermine God's word? I need to be teaching them answers. Because, you know, my father did that with us as we were growing up. He saw the liberal theologians and the impact on the church and on the pastors, and he was teaching us all the answers to the liberal theology so we wouldn't be led astray. We should be preparing our kids and our churches with answers to all these skeptical things, all these attacks on God's word today that the secularists are using, particularly against the book of Genesis, to undermine its authority. But there's been a great failure of the church and of parents to do that in the majority of instances.
And these attacks are many, as you know, and they're increasing in their intensity. And Christians are often the ones being targeted. Now, Ken, you just responded to what you call a hit piece in Scientific American, which was claiming that Genesis is racist.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Scientific American, of all places, you know, is supposed to be a scientific journal. Of course, they're evolutionists, they're anti-Christian, but they allowed this opinion piece to be published that said that if you reject evolution, that that's equivalent to white supremacy. I mean, here's the interesting thing. Darwin's evolutionary ideas were racist. They fueled racism. I mean, his book, The Descent of Man, said the Australian Aboriginals were closer to the ape-like creatures and people with dark skin closer to the apes and mentally inferior compared to light skin that were more superior. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, the things they label. And I'll tell you what else they do, the secular world does. I mean, even within the church and denominations, there'll always be some false teaching and some way-out ideas. And but, you know, the Mormon church, for instance, which, you know, is not Christian, but they would teach that, oh, the mark on Cain was what they call black skin and so on. Well, no one who believes God's word would believe that nonsense, and yet they try to claim that we believe that and therefore we're racist. They take some weird false teaching from somewhere and then claim that that's what Christians believe, and they use it to try to denigrate us and to try to undermine us to the world. And that's why we need to just stand up for what we believe. And I responded to that and wrote material on our website on that, because we have to stand up against what they're doing. I tell you, the devil is out to try to attack Christians, and will do it in any way he can. And people can't just believe everything they hear or see. We've got to be like Bereans and judge everything against the absolute authority of the Word of God.
Ken Ham with us here today on Crosstalk and discussing his newest book, Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos and a Conflicted Church. We'll be back again to share with you information on how you can obtain this. And also, we're going to be looking at some answers. Where do we go from here with all of this? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America, and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Ken Ham with us today from Answers in Genesis. And it's a powerful book, folks. It's a powerful, compact, hardcover book. Its release price, $15.99. But it is being featured this month at the VCY bookstore. Through the end of this month, July 31st, they're offering this book at 40% off. Just $9.59 plus any applicable tax and shipping. But you need to contact the bookstore. You can do it online at vcy.com, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829. They're open from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, Saturday from 10 to 4. And we would encourage you to do it. Ken, we're getting close to Pastor Appreciation Month. This would be an ideal book for people to get their pastor in advance for Pastor Appreciation Month.
Oh, it would be. And actually, it looks like a nice little gift book, too.
Yes.
And we actually printed this one in color, so all the illustrations are in color. And it has the link for the pastor to get all the diagrams themselves, all the illustrations that we did, so they can teach it.
Ken, 14 years the Creation Museum's been open, 5 years Ark Encounter just had its fifth anniversary there. Are people coming in light of what we've been through with this era of COVID?
Well, this may surprise you, Jim, but our post-pandemic numbers are greater than our pre-pandemic numbers, and that's with the fact that the hundreds and hundreds of bus tours, you know, were cancelled because all the bus tour companies had to shut and so on, and they probably will open up more and more, you know, towards the fall and certainly next year. So families are out travelling, and they're coming from across the nation. You know, we find a lot of families who say, we are so concerned about what's happening in the culture, and we don't want to support the secular world that is supporting LGBT and so on. We want to bring our kids, our families to a family-friendly Christian attractions that are God-honoring, that we can trust. We know they can have fun, but they're going to learn about God's Word. We want to pass on their spiritual legacy. So the crowds have been incredible. I mean, on Saturdays in the month of June, between both the Ark and the Creation Museum, our totals for the number of people at those attractions for a Saturday, we're at 10, 11, 12,000.
My.
And we've had thousands pouring in every day.
Well, folks, check it out. And Ken, they can get there through arkencounter.com, I believe, and creationmuseum.org, or through answersingenesis.org?
Yes, or just go to arkencounter.com, and they'll be able to see.
Okay.
Both our attractions.
Great. ArkEncounter.com will get you there. I've got just a few more questions before we get to phone lines. Ken, I know that fifth point you have in your book, to think foundationally, we've talked about that quite a bit here, and Scripture tells us if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But you've got a chapter entitled The Sand Versus the Rock. What's your point here?
Well, my point is, again, there's only two foundations, God's Word, man's Word. Man's Word is sand. God's Word is rock. And if you're going to build a house, you don't build it on the sand. You've got to build your house on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't build a house from the roof down. You build it from the foundation up. And so we need to be raising up generations who have the right foundation of God's Word, beginning in Genesis 1 to 11, and then build the structure on top of that. And we also need to understand, when it comes to man's word and the secular worldview, when you're looking at issues like abortion and gay marriage and racism and gender, they're not different problems. They're all different symptoms of the same problem. In other words, racism is the same problem as gender problems. Racism is the same problem as abortion or gay marriage. And people say, how could that be? Well, the problem is they're building their thinking on man's word, therefore anything goes. So what we see in the relative morality that's permeating our culture is actually they're actually different symptoms of the wrong foundation of man's word.
So often when we have these crosstalk programs, Ken, we'll have listeners call in and we'll talk about some problem. Their question is, what can I do? You know, what can we do in response to this? And at the end of each chapter in your book, and this is such a wonderful thing, you've got a section titled, What Should We Do? And you directly address pastors and parents in these sections. Tell us about it.
Yes, because one of the things, you're right, people want to know, what can we do? And so understanding, therefore, where the real problem lies enables us to be able to then teach people how to deal with these particular aspects. And, you know, for instance, even one of the practical aspects, well, how do you go and argue with someone who believes in gay marriage or believes in gender and so on. So we help people understand, okay, you can't just argue at the worldview level because they have a different worldview to you and it came out of a different foundation. You have got to ask the right questions and you've got to talk to them to get the battle down to the arguments, down to the foundational level, because if you don't get it down at that foundational level, you're never going to agree from a worldview perspective. So all the way through the book, we're giving people practical ways. Okay, how do you deal with this issue? Or how do you deal with that issue? How do we teach people about this? And so we give those little excerpts at the end of each chapter to stimulate their thinking in regard to teaching about that issue or helping people understand that issue.
Friends, a great book to use for your family devotions, your teaching time. If you're homeschool, Christian school, public education, doesn't matter, folks. This will be instrumental in helping build that biblical worldview. Available at vcy.com. Now, our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Ken here today, 800-733-9829. Ken, you actually publish in this book the extensive statement of faith for answers in Genesis. Why did you include it?
Well, the reason we included that is because one of the things I have found with a lot of our churches and Christian organizations is that when it comes to Genesis or even issues of gender, and other such issues, the statement of faith that a lot of churches have is very, very general and allow any sorts of positions. And you'll notice in history, most churches, most Christian organizations, Christian universities have compromised and have gone the opposite of what they should have. And a lot of it's because they haven't had a real detailed statement of faith to which they adhere to. We made sure it answers in Genesis, so we've gone through and done that very detailed statement of faith. For instance, some churches will have very detailed statement of faith about what you should believe about Revelation, but yet in Genesis it's very general. Yet Genesis is the foundation for everything. And so not only is this a very detailed statement of faith about Genesis, but also because of where the culture's at in regard to the abortion issue, the gender issue, the LGBT issue, the racism issue, we actually have made a very detailed statement of faith with Bible references for our ministry to make it very, very difficult for anyone to try to in any way cause any cracks in this ministry because of what we have to adhere to. And it's very, very solid based on God's word. And I'm challenging people to challenge their own churches. What statement of faith have you got? You know, where is it far too general and needs to be much more specific? Because when it's general, then it allows anyone to open the door to all sorts of things. So I encourage people, read through that statement of faith. You might be shocked at how specific it is, and particularly when you compare it to a lot of our church's statements of faith that are very general.
Indeed, and that's contained in this book here as well, entitled Divided Nation. Again, our number here at Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Lines open today, 800-733-9829. Ken, what are people are confronted, and I know you hear them coming from many fronts as you go and speak. What are some of those questions that are coming forth today that we need to be ready to give an answer to?
Well, you know, there are so many of them today. I mean, you can divide them up into different categories, actually. You know, there's certainly the creation apologetics areas, you know, dealing with the issue of origins, where people say, yeah, but hasn't science disproved the Bible? And isn't Genesis just teaching us, you know, that God created? It's teaching us the why, it's not teaching us the how. And then what about dinosaurs and millions of years? And we've got all those sorts of questions. But then there are other questions. Well, how do you know the Bible is even true? Well, where did the Bible come from? Well, how did those different books of the Bible get in there? Actually, we even have an exhibit at the Creation Museum that tells us about that. But then we're getting all these other sorts of questions today about, well, you know, and you sort of mentioned it just earlier. Well, when it comes to LGBT, shouldn't we just show love? Well, yeah, we're to show love, but part of showing love is also to tell people the truth about who we are and who created us and what sin is and what is sin. And so, and people will say, well, we shouldn't judge those, should we, as Christians? Well, doesn't the Bible say judge not? Well, the Bible says when you judge righteously, mm-hmm. and you judge yourself by the same standard you judge other people. In other words, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't judge. I mean, in fact, when you say that someone's a sinner, you are judging them. And the point is, we need to judge righteously against the absolute authority of the Word of God. So there's so many questions out there today that people are asking. We need to be raising up people educated with the answers.
Ken, I'm also very troubled by what's happening within the church. Those who claim to be the church, even, sometimes distinguished from those who are the church. But just last week, I mean, the headlines, I saw two different ones. I just copied them off because they were just so bizarre, the headlines. Here is from LifeNews.com. Christian pastor thinks it's perfectly fine for Planned Parenthood to push sex on kids. Here's another one from Western Journal. Churches hosting drag queen story hours condemning whiteness. It's amazing to know what's going on in the name of the church.
Well, there has to be a lot of people and a lot of those leaders who certainly aren't committed to the Lord Jesus Christ as they should be. And you have to question, only God knows where they are in regard to their heart. But, you know, if you're a Christian, then you stand on God's word. I think I think a lot of our seminaries have done a lot of damage in teaching pastors, you know, to question God's word instead of teaching them what's right and standing on God's word from the beginning. You know, the issue comes down to authority. You see, who's the authority, God or man? And for us, our nature is we would rather have the praise of men than the praise of God.
Yeah.
We'd rather believe the word of man than the word of God. And I see that in our churches all the time. We'd rather believe the word of man about evolution of millions of years because we're intimidated by the world and we don't want to be called anti-academic or anti-science, and we give up God's word. When you give up God's word as the authority, then anything goes. We're seeing it happening in our church as well, because we have so many of these leaders that do not understand and believe that God's word is the absolute authority. That's the foundation for our thinking, and we should judge everything against that basis.
Ken Ham is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going to go to our phone lines here, and just a reminder, our number, 800-733-9829. Folks, do you see the divide that's happening in our nation today? Do you see the cultures in chaos? Do you see a conflicted church taking place? 800-733-9829. Stephen is calling from Tennessee. Hi, Stephen. You're on the air.
Hi, Ken. Could you give me your view on the Nephilim and their relation to the flood?
Well, you know, they don't relate to any particular doctrine, so, you know, it's not something that we specifically get into, but I just remind you that after the flood, there are also, you know, the sons of Anak, we referred to Nephilim. I think that's just a variation of giants, of people. There were giants, the Israelites had to go out and battle, but sometimes I think people take, you know, a fairly obscure sort of verse in Scripture that you see there in Genesis 6 and try to make a whole theology about it. There's a big danger in doing that. The Scripture doesn't say much about it, so I would just say, okay, that's interesting, and we don't understand it all, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't relate to any particular doctrine, so let's not make up a whole theology based on, you know, one little line.
Thank you, Stephen, for the call. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your calls, to Linda, to John, to others. And so stay on the line here with us. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. The book, Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos and a Conflicted Church. They have it through July 31st at 40% off at the VCY bookstore. VCY.com is the website, or calling 1-888-722-4829. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation, they're at it again. This is an organization that I've documented for years has been proponents of eugenics. And even according to numerous reports, we're working inside the Hitler regime with some of their camps. The Rockefeller Foundation is now going to work with the U.S. Surgeon General under the Biden regime to, well, deal with what they believe is vaccine misinformation. Again, this is psychological projection, putting on to their enemies what they actually do. The misinformation about the vaccine starts with the word vaccine. This COVID-19 emergency order doesn't even meet the legal definition of a vaccine. And as of today, we have over 11,000 Americans dead, according to the government's own VAERS reporting system. Who's putting out the misinformation? The Surgeon General? The government? are people like me.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ken Ham is with us today on the broadcast and taking your calls here at Crosstalk. Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos, and the Conflicted Church, 800-733-9829. Linda is calling from Sardinia, Ohio. You're on the air, Linda.
Hi, yes. I've been at odds with the church for years and years, and I read years and years ago in this book that in 1929, the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth, and evolution got a toehold into the schools, which is there today. And it's being taught, and that's been taught for that many years. And evolution is Satan's worst and biggest lie from the deepest pits of you know where. And I don't know what can be done because of these generations that has come out of the schools and stuff. They have been brainwashed, and Linda, we're just going to have to keep praying, I guess.
Well, thank you, Linda, for that. And Ken, address Linda. What can be done? I mean, we've got just generations of brainwashing that's been going on.
There are generations of brainwashing. We've got to understand that, you know, when you look at what Darwin said about evolution, it was to try to explain life without God. It's really the pagan religion of this age to try to explain life without God. One of the problems is, parents handed their kids over to the public education system and let them be indoctrinated. And unfortunately, many are now waking up to what has really happened. But you know what? We just need to be faithful and do the business of the King until he returns. And parents need to start working hard to raise up generations to stand on God's word. And churches need to repent of compromise and start teaching God's word as they should.
Thank you, Linda. And this book will really, it's instrumental. It'll be instrumental in helping to create, biblical worldview. And again, Divided Nation, Cultures in Chaos, and the Conflicted Church. Thanks for the call. John is next in Dallas, Texas. You're on the air, John.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I just ordered 5 of those books. Regret not ordering 10, but Ken, your facilities are great. I've been to both the Creation Museum and the Ark. I hope Linda's been there. She's right across the border. But I just wanted to ask you about Dr. Whitcomb's book, The Genesis Flood. I'm starting to read it. I've had it for a couple, 3 years, and
What's your question about it, John?
I love it. It's heavy reading, don't you think, Ken?
The Genesis Flood was really the book that helped start the modern creationist movement. Is by Whitcomb and Morris. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an older book now, and so we've got a lot more even updated geology if you go to our website and some of the books that we have. But that's really Whitcomb and Morris were the two that started to give answers in regard to geology. Just so show that most of your fossils came from the flood, not from millions of years, and it really started to have an impact on people and saved a lot of people from their liberal seminaries, actually, because of that book. So it really teaches apologetics in regard to the flood in geology and the biblical account.
Thanks for the call. I believe, John Whitcomb, was that your dedication of the Ark there, Ken?
He was, and he was a great friend, and loved what we were doing.
Yes. Okay, we're going to Ken in Farmington, West Virginia. Hi, Ken, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment about what he's talking about, male and female. You know how in the book of Genesis that is our foundation, but how that people, because they trust in religious leaders and scientists for our creation, like I'm sure Ken Ham has a lot of experience with people arguing over things that come from space and how they planted us here, and that's why we're intelligent. I've heard all this stuff for years.
Mm-hmm.
But in Matthew chapter 19, the religious people they trusted in those days were the very ones coming to Jesus. And it says here in Matthew 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. I think that's interesting. They tempted him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And even there, they were questioning the validity of marriage and the authority of Jesus, and Jesus did not answer of himself. He went right back to the book of Genesis, which I think is quite unique.
He did. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's also recorded in Mark 10 as well. And he says there in Matthew 19, have you not read, he which made the beginning made them male and female, which is Genesis 1:27. and God, Jesus makes it clear, two genders. And God, when he made them in Genesis 1:27, he says he made them in his image, male and female. And, of course, science confirms that. 23 pairs of chromosomes and our sex chromosomes, that male have X and Y and female have X and X. There's only two genders. But if you had nothing else but God's word, we would know that. But
yeah.
Science confirms that, too.
Ken, thank you for the call. We're short on time, so we're going to have to move on here. I'm going to get one last call in today, and let's go to Mary calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to thank Ken Ham for writing a book, putting a little sanity back into our insane culture.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it is looking like it's becoming insane culture. And you know what? Think about it. It's like the book of Judges, Judges 21:25. When there was no king, no absolute authority, they all do what is right in their own eyes. And so anything goes. And that's why the culture looks so insane. We have generations that no longer believe God's word. So many politicians that don't believe God's word. Therefore, anything goes. And they become so illogical. And the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe. And that's what we're seeing. It is the insanity of rejecting God's word. And so that's why I wrote this book, to really challenge people and to equip the church to deal with it.
Yeah, the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's what we're seeing happen today, folks. Thank you, Mary, for the call. We're out of time for additional calls. Ken, what is your prayer? What is your prayer that this book is going to accomplish?
Well, my prayer is that it'll wake Christians up to realizing, wait a minute, you know, we haven't done what we should have. We haven't trained our kids the way we should. But for many Christian leaders to say we haven't stood on God's word, we haven't taught the right way, to start to recognize that we need to stand, be bold, be unashamed, but we can't just go out there and attack the wrong worldview. We've got to go out there and understand how to foundationally deal with the issues of today. We've got to deal with them in the right way. You've got to understand what the real problem is. It's a foundational problem, and we need to be raising up others who are equipped to be able to then go and argue the right way, ask the right questions, challenge people in the right way. We're not living in a culture like Acts 2. We're living in an Acts 17 Greek-type culture, so we've got to approach it in a different way.
Ken, thank you so much for carving out valuable time to joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Anytime.
Folks, arkencounter.com, their website. And if you haven't been to the Ark or it's been a while, wow, make it your destination. And Creation Museum as well. You'll find it all at arkencounter.com to obtain this book. And by the way, again, in the beginning of it, you got the link there to download all the PowerPoint illustrations. Call the bookstore or go to vcy.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.